Now let's move on and introduce a number of guests who have joined me in the last couple of minutes. They're here to talk about the Vicky Phelan campaign and portrait tour, which is currently taking place around the country and which comes to Tralee this very weekend. And it's all about the portrait of Vicky that was painted, and the owner of the portrait is David Brennan. David is on the line to chat to us, and we're also joined by Caoimhe O'Neill Ford, who is a member of the 221 Plus group. She'll explain to us what all that is. And we've also got Cian O'Carroll, who is Vicky's solicitor and friend, and indeed here in studio with us is Siobhan McSweeney from Recovery Haven. Recovery Haven is hosting the event on Friday. You're all very welcome. Welcome, and thank you all for joining us. David, I might start with yourself. You might tell us about the portrait and the tour and what you're hoping to do and achieve with this.
Hi, Deirdre. Thanks for having us. Yeah. Well, the portrait, I bought the portrait. We saw Vicky on the Late Late Show just before she headed off to the States for her clinical trial. And it was going for auction. We decided on the spot we absolutely needed to try and get it and bring it home to Mun Cainn, where Vicky's family is from, because we felt that, well, immediately from what Vicky had told us on the Late Late Show, we felt that the portrait could be used as a conduit, perhaps, for Vicky's campaign for change and awareness. Now, we didn't realise how much actually was in the portrait. We were successful in buying it, of course, and I went and collected it. This was during lockdown. Vicky was away at the time, and it was when the artist Vincent Devine had explained the detail that was inside it. Then I could fully appreciate, and from conversation with Vicky as well, I could fully appreciate, I suppose, the extent of how we could use this, as I said, as a conduit for Vicky's campaign. And but everything within the portrait was total collaboration between Vicky and Vincent Devine. Her book, Overcoming, it's quite detailed. It gives a huge history in terms of Vicky's past prior to her cancer diagnosis, and many, I suppose, testing times that she had to go through, and that's all contained within it. There's a lot of mystique, there's a lot of emotion in it, but moreover, it is inspiring. It is absolutely inspiring. And Deirdre, we're going around the country now to colleges, universities, schools, cancer support centres, and people are reminded, because people can forget as well when things are not on the TV or not on the news. It can be almost forgotten about. So we are continuing and, keeping Vicky's legacy alive by going around the country and sharing her story. And also we're very glad to be accompanied as well by such wonderful people in the panel discussion.
The panel. And let's meet one of the people now. Cian O'Carroll won't be in Tralee, I understand, but he has been in other parts of the tour. Cian, I know you were Vicky's solicitor, but you became very good friends as well. Why is it important to you that we remember her and keep her legacy going?
Hi, Deirdre. The message from Vicky is vital, and that is, in the first place, people, men and women, have to look after their own healthcare. They have to engage with the screening programs that are available, and we all have a responsibility as well to try to work in whatever way we can, in whatever field we're in, to try and ensure that such screening programs and healthcare in general is as good as it can possibly be. So that's the positive aspect and the legacy from Vicky Phelan. And beyond that, as David said there, her own story is an incredibly inspiring one, a tale of self-sacrifice, because she gave up so much in order to ensure that the wrongs that were done to her were known, were acknowledged, and that action was taken on foot of those to make things better for other people. And very few people have what it takes, and very few people should ever have to be put in a position like Vicky Phelan was. But when it happened to her, she had the moral fibre and the incredible strength and ability to take action on that and make sure that Irish healthcare, and particularly for women, was improved as a result of the awful thing that happened to her. And I think that's an important message that has to be brought out again and again, and new generations reminded of it as they come up.
Have lessons been learned, Cian? Have there been enough improvement and enough progress in women's healthcare in this country since what happened to Vicky?
Well, no. Vicky wouldn't say that there was enough, but you would have to acknowledge that there have been improvements and that there have been critical changes that have happened, particularly within what was the very poorly organised cervical check, cervical screening programme. And if she hadn't done what she did, that programme would still be failing women the way it was before. But to say that there has been enough change, well, that would suggest that there was no room for improvement, and there very much is room for improvement.
And that's one of the subjects I hope we'll be talking about on Friday night. And let's talk to Caoimhe O'Neill Ford, because Caoimhe, as I said, is a member of the 221 Plus group and is a cervical cancer survivor herself. Caoimhe, you were unusual in that you developed cervical cancer at a very young age, and you were kind of being fobbed off for a long time, I understand, by doctors.
Yeah, I was 26 when I was diagnosed in 2012, and even post-diagnosis, it was seen as something extremely rare. I would say I think I'm one of the youngest, possibly even the youngest, to be diagnosed at that age, following smear tests. And I went on to have what's known as a trachelectomy, so it's the removal of your cervix and kind of the lower part of your uterus. The idea being that it would be fertility sparing. So this is a surgery that, even to this day, it was only a number of weeks ago I was in a hospital in Galway and they'd never heard of the surgery. And I did have experiences in different hospitals where they didn't believe that someone at 26 could get cervical cancer. And even, you know, to Cian's point about improvements that have happened over the last number of years, I do think awareness in general around the country has improved around cervical cancer, that people, you know, are aware of it now. It's something that's talked about, which is, you know, I think a positive for Irish society, that we're moving past, you know, those patriarchal ideas of keeping stuff like that quiet.
And you, when you speak on Friday night as part of this tour, Caoimhe, you're very much pressing home the message that women must follow their instincts. They must push for their own answers and not just slavishly accept what they're told in hospital. You know, you're often told to go away and go on the pill, or go away and take painkillers or whatever. Just the importance of women taking responsibility for their own health.
Absolutely, and being given the space to advocate for your own health from a young age. You know,
Oh, Caoimhe, are you there? I think we might have lost her. Are you there, Caoimhe?
No, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we lost you for a second. You were saying from a young age?
From a young age, we want people to be empowered to question doctors and to push if they know something is not right. We've seen too many times where young women, maybe with heavy periods, are brought into hospitals and brought into their doctors and put on the pill to mask whatever issue is happening, only for it to return again in their 30s when they might be short of time, fertility wise, to fix the issues. So it is about making sure that people are able to make their doctors listen, and that the medical teams themselves are willing to listen and to push through testing and to listen to their patients.
Yeah, absolutely. Siobhan McSweeney from Recovery Haven is here, and as I said at the outset, Siobhan, Recovery Haven is responsible for hosting this event, albeit it's on at the MTU. Why did you decide to get involved in this?
Well, actually, we were approached by a lady within the community, a lovely lady, Mary O'Carroll, and she had met David up at an event. And then she was talking to some people, and she was talking to Cathal Walsh, who we all know through the Ring of Kerry Cycle, and Cathal would have been involved with Recovery Haven as well. And it was mentioned to us that would we be willing to host it? And I suppose, you know, I looked at it as a really positive thing. I suppose Vicky was such a brave woman, and she did push boundaries in relation to encouraging people to be their best advocate for themselves. And that's a really important message for us to get across. And within the healthcare system, we really need to advocate for ourselves, and we need to encourage people to do things like engage in the screening, even with everything they hear. So I suppose we felt they were all positive things, and for those reasons we decided it would be lovely to host it.
Absolutely, and well done to Recovery Haven for taking that approach. David, just to finish up, you might give us a flavour of what's happening, because there's an event on Friday and then there's another event on Saturday, both at MTU here in Tralee. Just give the listeners an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, so I suppose the way these are happening of late, particularly in colleges and universities, is that we'll do like a two-day event. So the first evening, this will be more of let's call it the main event, if you like. So we will have the portrait discussion, which you know it takes about 45 minutes. There is that much detail in it. That will start at around, I think, 7 o'clock. Doors will be open at 6. And then we will have a panel discussion. And on the panel will be Lynn Fenton, Kiva O'Neill, and Roisin Ní Chaoilge. Roisin is a Leaving Cert student that was inspired by Vicky when she met her almost 4 years ago at Shine Festival in Waterford. And she met her in person later on that day at the Parlour Tea Rooms, which is the exact same place as I met Roisin only last year on International Women's Day. So Roisin is very inspiring, and she has she will captivate the audience as well. So the panel discussion will probably last another, let's say, 45 minutes or so. And Vicky's good friend and health advocate John Wall will also be at the event as well as guest speaker, as will Vicky's parents, John and Gaby. And then on the Saturday, the event on Saturday will be kind of a public walk-in event. Doors will open at 10 o'clock. We will do a portrait talk from 11 until 11:45. And we'll wrap it up then 1 o'clock. But that gives everybody an opportunity that can't make it on Friday to come to view it on Saturday and also hear the detail and receive Vicky's message loud and clear through the portrait as well on Saturday. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, is. Which is what it's all about, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to very kindly been asked and very delighted to agree to be moderator of the event on Friday evening, so I'm looking forward to that.
Indeed.
And people can come along on Saturday, so it's open to the public, isn't it?
Open to the public, Deirdre, yes, on Saturday, yeah. So again, from 10 a.m. until it'll finish up at 1 o'clock, but be there at 11 for the portrait talk, and it's not the same to view it as it is to experience it. That's what I'll say. So if if everybody in the locality can come, please do make it before 11 o'clock.
Very good. Well, listen, we leave it there, but my thanks to all of you for taking time to come and just give us a flavour of the portrait tour, and indeed just to remember Vicky and to remember her message and to ensure that her legacy continues and the fight continues. So thank you to Cian O'Carroll, Kiva O'Neill Ford, David Brennan on the phone, and Siobhan McSweeney from Recovery Haven here in studio with me.